The OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com and on our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. So we had a great card this weekend, UFC Vancouver. I'll be talking about that. A couple of fight announcements, but most of this podcast will be dedicated to what was, I think, one of the best cards of the year. It was an amazing card, so I'll get right into that right now. Let's start with the main event and work our way down. Justin Gaethje defeats Donald Cerrone via first round TKO punches. Great performance by Gaethje here. Three straight knockouts in the first round for Justin Gaethje. So he's just looked absolutely fantastic lately and really has become a technician in the cage. Not as much of a brawler as he was in those Poirier-Alvarez and even the Johnson fights. He's really become more technical and picking his shots better. Looked amazing once again, beating a guy like Cerrone in the fashion he did. That's really impressive. And it puts Justin Gaethje in the elite at 155 once again. So anyone who's followed me for like the last 5 or 6 years knows how much I love this guy. He is one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting fighters in the sport. Just a joy to watch. And another great performance by him. So awesome performance. And for Cerrone, obviously a disappointing loss. That's two straight losses now by TKO. The other one to Tony Ferguson, of course, after three straight wins. So that's kind of disappointing for Cerrone and his fans. But, you know, 36 years old, I think that was expected. He looked great, obviously, against Iaquinta, Hernandez, and Perry. But he's kind of come down to earth a little bit lately. So Cerrone's still one of the best in the world, no doubt about it. But I don't think he's an elite guy anymore. And I think the Gaethje and Ferguson fights prove that. So there's a few things to unpack from this fight. First off, I want to talk about the stoppage. Bad stoppage by referee Jared Vallal. This guy is just not a good referee. I've talked about him in the past on my Twitter. I actually Googled my name with his name. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I've talked about this guy being a terrible ref before. And of course, something came up from like 2017 where I criticized his refing. And also, I think there was something even from like 2015 where someone responded to me saying this guy wasn't a great ref. So we've seen him blow many stoppages. I actually posted something about him just, you know, blowing this stoppage. And Mitch Clark, former UFC fighter, he chimed in and said, this guy's just not a good ref. So you've got fighters saying this guy's not good at his job. And it doesn't make sense why he was doing the main event. You have Jason Herzog on the same card. And I saw Jason and he sent a tweet out saying that Darren was in a tough position with this fight. Stoppage was tough for any ref. That's what he says. But I think he's just being nice. Jason Herzog is one of the best in the business, no doubt about it. He should have been in the main event. They gave Jaren Vallal the chance to do it because he's a Canadian ref, but it obviously should have been Jason Herzog because he's the best ref on the card. As far as best referees in the business, I think Jason Herzog's probably in the top five. Right now, I think Mike Beltran, the guy with the long beard, I actually think he might be the best ref in this sport right now. So he doesn't do events, obviously, in BC, but he's one of the best. Big John, I think, has done events in BC as well in the past, but he's with Bellator now. He's not doing officiating anymore, so that's too bad. But, you know, you need guys like Jared Vallal to step up. And when Big John actually retired, I remember saying that we're going to have issues with stoppages. And I feel like we have had a lot of problems with stoppages in the last couple of years since Big John's gone. Not saying it's just because of that, but I don't know what's going on with the refs. Like, this fight was stopped a couple punches too late, no doubt about it. Didn't make sense. It's kind of stupid when you're seeing the guy that's winning the fight, like, I don't want to punch the guy anymore, and the other guy's just turtling up on the ground. Of course, Cerrone complained. Every fighter that's losing the fight complains, but clearly he was done. Great win for Justin Gaethje. What's next for him? I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a few possibilities. He spoke to the media after the event. He said that he wants to fight Khabib, obviously, but he also believes Tony Ferguson, like we all do, is next in line for a title shot. So I don't think that's going to happen. He could fight the winner of that, but he also said, first off, he doesn't want to take the fight on short notice in case there is an injury, and he doesn't want to be a backup unless he's getting paid a lot of money. So I feel like we're going to see Gaethje fight someone else. Dustin Poirier called him for a rematch. That would be a good fight for sure, but Gaethje said he's not interested. He's on the way up right now. Poirier obviously coming off the loss to Khabib. And Conor McGregor's also out there. I don't know if McGregor wants that smoke personally. I think McGregor's going to look for a more favorable fight. I think Poirier is the fight that McGregor would want right now because he's already beaten him, and Poirier's coming off a devastating loss. So I feel like McGregor would want that fight more than Gaethje, who I personally think would be Conor McGregor. I feel like he would match up really well with Conor. And to be honest, I feel like he matches up decently with Khabib. This guy has a wrestling background. We don't see it ever from his fights, but he has an amazing wrestling background, and his striking is way better than Khabib. So he actually could be a bad matchup for him, but even he said, you know, on paper, the takedown obviously is going to be the difference probably. But either way, you know, Gaethje's on a nice win streak right now, and I think he's one win away from title shot. So if he gets that next win, I don't know if it's going to be Connor or I don't even know who else is out there right now. I guess he could just wait, or Poirier even. But yeah, I think one more win and then Gaethje would be in that title shot. So yeah, it was a great fight, great card, great main event. But the referee definitely blew the stoppage in this one. A little too late. Next up, co-main event, Glover Teixeira defeats Nikita Krylov via split decision. 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. I was like shocked when I heard it was split. Like, I thought Glover won every round of this fight. It was definitely a competitive fight, close fight, but Glover won this fight clearly. He had the more dominant positions in the fight. Krylov definitely had that one. I think it was a rear naked choke attempt. So maybe you can give him one round, but Glover had a lot of dominant positions. He did a lot of damage in this fight. He's looked great lately, man. 39 years old, but he's not slowing down. He's on a 3-fight win streak. He's won 4 of his last 5 fights. The guy's a stud. It's funny when Daniel Cormier interviewed him. He was like, who do you want to fight next? He's like, well, Daniel. And I thought he was going to call out DC right there. But he said he wants to fight in Brazil in November. Get him on that card, man. He took not that much damage in this fight, so get him on that card. I think Shogun would be an amazing fight. He's called Shogun out in the past. They were scheduled to fight in Calgary back in 2012 at UFC 149, that terrible card. They were supposed to fight in that card. Never happened. All these years later, I think it should happen. So give me Glover Teixeira versus Shogun. I think that'd be a great fight. Great co-main event for the Jacare and Jan Błachowicz main event. Oh, and I should say for Krylov, I mean, this was definitely a disappointing loss after that win over OSP. But the guy is a flawed fighter. You know, he's fun to watch. He's got good finishing ability. This was the first time he's actually been a decision in his career, but he's a very flawed fighter. He's got issues with his takedown defense, with his cardio, just a lot of issues with his game. But, you know, credit to him for making it the 3 rounds. I don't agree with it being a split decision. This was definitely a unanimous decision for Glover Teixeira, and I'm shocked that one of the judges actually thought Krylov won. Next up, we have a heavyweight bout between Todd Duffy and Jeff Hughes. It ended in a no contest due to an accidental eye poke in the first round. Unfortunately, ending in this fight was actually a really good fight. Both guys just throwing bombs at each other. And Todd Duffy alleges that Hughes stuck a finger in his eye, and he said he couldn't see. He said he was seeing double. So I have a few things to talk about with this fight. First off, the stoppage was – it's fine. I mean, listen, if he couldn't see, I'm fine with that fight being stopped. You don't want to have a guy that can't see fighting. That's just dangerous. But I feel like the referee, first off, didn't do a really good job in this fight because he should have been more vocal towards Duffy, saying, you know what, you have 5 minutes, take your time. Instead, he was just kind of like, are you okay, man? We got to get going. And it was weird. And then he finally calls the doctor, and after Duffy's like, I can't see, dude. And it's like, then the doctor comes in. The doctor did not even like really look at his eye. It was terrible. I was watching with my girlfriend. She's like, what's this doctor doing? Like, he didn't do anything. Terrible job by the doctor. Bad job by the referee. I saw David Shaw, the UFC executive. He talked about this stoppage afterwards. He said that he wasn't exactly thrilled with it either. So I can imagine Dana White wasn't either. So disappointing stoppage here, obviously. But, you know, the one other thing I'd say with that is I saw a lot of fans saying, Todd Duffy wanted out. Todd Duffy's a wimp. Come on, guys. Come on. So many keyboard warriors out there. Listen, that's just not fair to say. These guys were in a brawl. They were slugging bombs at each other's chins. Todd Duffy's a warrior, man. He's, you know, even if you don't like the guy, he's never been to a decision in his career. He gets knocked over, he knocks you out. You can't say this guy wanted out of the fight, okay? It's just not fair to say that. That's when people talk about keyboard warriors, it's the people that were like, oh, Todd Duffy's a wimp. He didn't want to fight. Yes, he did. I don't think he didn't want to fight. Maybe he couldn't see, you know, got poked in the eye. And who's someone that's sitting at home on their couch to say that this guy is a wimp, you know? So honestly, the comments did bother me for some reason. And this is exactly why Todd Duffy, I think, was going off the other day when he was ranting against the media. But really, I think he should be ranting against the fans, especially if he hears these comments. Because to me, you talk about keyboard warriors, it's the kind of guy saying that this guy's a wimp and he doesn't want to fight. The guy's a UFC fighter. He's a professional mixed martial artist. I think calling him, you know, saying that he doesn't want to fight is very unfair. So hopefully they run this fight back, though. It was a good fight for a while, lost it. And I honestly don't even know who'd win the rematch because this was a very close fight. All right, next up, this was an incredible fight. For my money, maybe best fight of the year so far. Definitely. Kristen Connolly, some upset win over Michelle Pereira, defeats him via unanimous decision in a catchweight bout here. Incredible fight. Just an amazing fight with so many ebbs and flows. I loved watching this fight. So the entrance, by the way, I got to say, that was an awesome entrance. So good for him. The guy's a showman, and he's fun to watch. Very fun to watch. But he's so dumb. Like, the stuff he was doing the first round, doing the somersaults, jumping off the cage, the guy gassed out after 1 minute. I looked at the clock, and he was like, I was like, man, it's 1 minute in the fight, and the guy was breathing heavy. So you knew right there and then he was in trouble if he couldn't finish Tristan Connolly. And Tristan Connolly just was really tough and managed to go the three rounds winning decision. Amazing performance by Tristan Connolly. You know, I don't know if it's a star-making performance. I don't think that's fair to say, but definitely it was one of those epic performances, I think. It reminded me of kind of Mark Hominick against Jose Aldo in that fight in Toronto back at UFC 129, although obviously Hominick didn't win, but just like the way the crowd kind of got behind their Canadian fighter. So that was really cool. Again, I think this guy, you know, he looked great. He looked great, especially up a weight class against a much bigger fighter. But Michel Pereira, what's so great about Michel Pereira when you think about it? The guy's kind of overrated. He had one fight in the UFC before this. He finished Danny Roberts. Good for him. But, you know, he's lost a bunch of times in his career. So to me, he was a little bit overrated coming in this fight. Connolly obviously underrated by everyone, including myself, but you know, he's won what, 9 of his last 10 fights. That's great. I just don't know if you can say he has star potential based on beating a guy like Michel Pereira. Definitely looked good in this fight. It was a great fight. I can't wait to watch him fight again. I just think you got to slowly roll with Tristan Connolly. Don't get me wrong, an amazing performance, an amazing fight. He deserved that $100,000 for winning the fight of the night and his opponent missing weight and winning his bonus as well. I just think you got to slowly roll a little bit with this guy. You know, he's 33 years old. He's not a young guy, but definitely he's got a couple of good fights in him. And it was really nice to see him get this win here on Canadian soil, especially in his hometown of Vancouver. Next up, Uriah Hall defeats Antonio Carlos Jr. via split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. And, you know, my picks have not been going that well lately. This was one of the best picks I made in a while. I picked Uriah Hall here as an underdog. He was plus 230. Really good pick on my part, but you know, again, I have not been doing good with picks, so I gotta give myself a credit when I finally get a good one here. Hall looked really good in this fight. One of his better performances, I think, one of his more complete performances. Just really outlasted Carlos Jr., who has so many issues with his cardio. And the guy's really good in the ground, but if he can't get you in the ground and submit you, then he's in trouble. So definitely a disappointing performance here by Jr., who's 29 years old and seems like he's plateaued a little bit. I don't know what the move is for him. I think, you know, his camp changed the ATT. That's a great camp. Obviously, camp change, I don't think, is the right thing. But, you know, he's got a lot of moves to make in his career somehow, some way. You know, maybe it's a change in weight class. I think that might be a good move for him, moving up a weight class. You know, he has fought at light heavyweight and heavyweight in the past. So maybe moving up to light heavyweight will help his cardio. That could be the move for him. I don't know if the camp changes it. But for Uriah Hall, the camp change definitely worked. Going to Fortis. Great gym. They're on fire right now, and Uriah Hall looked good in this fight. So good for him. He's actually won 3 of his last 4 fights. After the fight, calls out Israel Adesanya. He will not be getting that fight, obviously. Uriah Hall is a top 15 guy, maybe a top 10 guy, especially with all these guys like Jacare and Weidman moving up. Maybe he's top 10 now, but for the most part, I think he's a top 15. He's more than a gatekeeper, but he's not a contender by any means. So calling out Adesanya, I mean, whatever. Hey, you know what? Why not call him out? But he won't be getting that fight. Either way, great performance by him. And opening up the main card, an incredible submission here by Misha Serkinov, finishing Jimmy Crute with the Peruvian necktie in the first round. So I've seen the Peruvian necktie before, and as soon as he hit it, I was like, oh my God, he's got a Peruvian necktie. And I couldn't believe it. So some people obviously have never seen this submission before. It's very rare. There's only been one other time in the UFC, CB Dalloway, he got one. So it's very rare. There's also Brad Pick in WC got one, and Pat Curran in Bellator got one. So I've seen this a few times. Very rare submission. One of my favorite submissions. An incredible submission for sure. You don't see it very often. And of course, he won a bonus for his performance here. And he needed this, you know, coming off of a devastating knockout loss to Johnny Walker. Misha Serkinov needed to win this fight. So great performance by Misha Serkinov. You couldn't be happy for this guy. Obviously, with his wife going through the cancer treatments and stuff, it's definitely, I think, much needed for him to get the win, save his job, and get that bonus. So great performance by Serkinov. Crute, you know, first loss of his career. Only 23, though. He'll bounce back. He's got some stuff in his game he needs to work on, obviously, submission defense. And I feel like, you know, he is a bit of a front runner in this fight. You know, he looked good at first, and then once the going got tough, he kind of faded a little bit. So that's disappointing. But, you know, he looked good at times in this fight too. And I think the fight was actually close to being stopped at one point when he was just laying those nasty hammer fists on Misha's face. So good for Misha for composing himself, getting that submission, proving necktie. Misha Serkinov, incredible. All right, let's talk about the prelims here. Augusto Sakai defeats Marcin Tybura via first-round knockout. And this was kind of the performance I think this guy needed. He's looked just okay in the UFC, but man, this was a great performance. So somehow he's actually won four or he's won 5 straight fights, and 4 of the last 5 by knockout. So good for this guy. I mean, it seemed like he was kind of on the path just becoming like a decision machine, but man, he needed this and he got it. So great win here for Augusto Sakai. He's 3-0 now in the UFC, 14-1-1 in his career, one loss in his career to Chiakongo by split decision. So Chiakongo, obviously, especially at that time, was on a nice roll. This was a good win for Sakai. Clearly a top 15 guy. Is he a top 10 guy? I don't know, but I'd like to see him fight someone in the top 10. Not sure who's next for him, but clearly deserves that top 10 guy after this win over Marcin Tybura in such incredible fashion. It's too bad he didn't win a bonus, but there was better performances on the main card. Next up, Miles John defeat Cole Smith via split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. This was a really close fight, but I did think John's won. Just I think his work rate was a bit higher, and I think Cole Smith was relying too much on like pushing him against the cage. It doesn't really work as much in 2019. It would have worked a few years ago, but I feel like John's was able to land better strikes in this fight and just kind of showed the judges he was the better fighter. So Miles Johns gets the win, a hard-fought win. And, you know, I think this is proof that the Contender Series is just a step below the UFC. It's great. I love Contender Series, but this guy was like an absolute stud on the show. And then he goes to the UFC and he barely gets by someone who I think is kind of like a journeyman in Cole Smith. I mean, I know he was an undefeated fighter, but he is a little bit older for a prospect. So Cole Smith, decent fighter, but Miles Johns clearly has the better ceiling. Excuse me. Next up, Hunter Azure defeats Brad Katona via unanimous decision, 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. Very close fight. I think this one could have gone either way as well. I did pick Azure as an underdog, so I'm glad he won the fight, but I think Katona easily could have got the decision. For Katona, it's actually two straight losses now. That's not good. But for Azure, coming off Contender Series, once again, you know, just like Miles Johns, he comes in and fights a guy who's like a lower level bantamweight and barely escapes by him. So good for Azure. Maybe the Johns fights next for him. They could do Johns versus Azure. I'd actually like to see that fight. I think it makes sense. And then you could do Cole Smith versus Brad Katona too. Just the timeline makes sense for both guys. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, you know, good win for Azure. Next up, Chaz Skelly defeats Jordan Griffin, unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. And this was a great fight too. And it was kind of lost in the main card with the Conley Pereira fight. But man, this was a great fight. Chaz Skelly looked really good in this fight. Jordan Griffin looked good too, but Chaz Skelly's ground game was excellent. So good for him. He needed this win after two straight losses by stoppage. So good win for Chaz Skelly here. I don't know where he goes from here. He's pretty much a gatekeeper at 145, but this was a quality win for him. I hope they don't cut Jordan Griffin. Two straight losses now, 0-2 in the UFC, but I think he's a fun fighter to watch. Next up, Luis Smolka picks up a first-round knockout win over Ryan McDonald. This was an incredible performance by Smolka. He looked great, man. I know he's sober now. He looked great. Like, just physically, he looked great, and performance-wise, looked amazing. So great performance here by Smolka. He's won five of his last six, lost to Machinel in his last fight, bounced back nicely here. So good for him. You know, this is a guy that is a very talented fighter, but he's battled a lot of personal demons, and, you know, that's tough for anyone to handle. So good for him. Only 20 years old, so still pretty young, and this is a great performance here. So good for Smolka. And again, he was kind of lost in the shuffle on the main card because I think he had a bonus-worthy performance, just there was better performances on the main card that were fresher in the minds of the UFC brass. And finally, opening up the main card, or the prelim card, I should say, Austin Hubbard defeats Kyle Preplick via unanimous decision. 29-28 across the board. Close fight, but Hubbard got the takedowns when he needed and grinded out the decision. Good for Hubbard. Gets his first win in the UFC for Preplick. That's another loss, but they maybe give him another fight in the Canadian card. So overall, this was an amazing card. It was so much fun to watch. So many good fights. And, you know, it's just it's one of those cards. There wasn't actually a lot of finishes. There was only four finishes out of the 12 fights. One was in no contest. So actually, there were seven decisions. Is that right? Seven, yeah. So it's just proof that, you know, it's not necessarily finishes that make a card exciting. It's just good fights, good quality matchups, competitive fights. And this card had all of them. It was an awesome card. One of the best fight nights in recent memory. And the fans of Vancouver treated to a really good one here. So great card. If I had to rate the card out of 10, I'd give it like 9, 9.5 out of 10. You know, it's hard to give a perfect 10 rating. And I don't even know if I've ever given one. But this card, it was close to being like as perfect as a fight night as there is. All right, so that's it for UFC Vancouver. Great card, but we move on to UFC Mexico City this weekend in the morning. So tune in for that episode. Before I get out of here today, a couple of fight announcements to talk about quickly. UFC Copenhagen, unfortunately, Thiago Alves has had to pull out of his fight with Gunnar Nelson, and now Gilbert Burns has stepped up on short notice to fight Gunnar Nelson. So that's really interesting. Great fight. Love how Gilbert Burns called the shot here. So Gunnar Nelson, let's pull him out here. Gunnar Nelson, he is 17-4-1 in his career, 31 years old. It's actually coming off a loss to Leon Edwards. Split decision, close fight earlier this year, but we know how good his ground game is. Submitted Alex Oliveira the fight before that. So we know how good Gunnar Nelson's ground game is. It's elite. And Gilbert Burns is as well. So Gilbert Burns is actually older than Gunnar, 33 years old. He moved up to welterweight in his last fight. He beat Alexei Konchenko, taking that guy's undefeated record. It was a really good win. He's actually won 5 of his last 6, including his last 3. Burns has shown better striking. He's got a great ground game, good wrestling. This is a really, really tough fight to call. The fact he's taking on such short notice, and 2 weeks' notice, that obviously hurts. But he took his last fight in short notice and looked amazing as well. So don't write off Gilbert Burns here. This is a close fight. It's a coin flip, in my opinion. And honestly, you know, if Burns had more notice, I'd have to pick him for sure. But with the short notice, it's a tougher sell. Gunnar Nelson is definitely a quality fighter. So I'm on the fence right now. I'll think about it a little bit more, but definitely a close fight and a great fight. And UFC 243 gets another fight here between Brad Riddle and Jamie Malarkey. Let me pull these guys out. I'm not too familiar with these guys, not going to lie about that. I have heard of Brad Riddle. There were some rumors that he was going to be in the card. I believe he's a teammate of Adesanya or Dan Hooker. I think both those guys. Anyways, he's won 6 of his last 7 fights in MMA. He actually has a knockout win over Kenan Song, which is a pretty good win. Won his last 3 fights. Most of his wins by KO, so that looks pretty good. And then Jamie Malarkey, another guy I'm not too familiar with. 12-2 record, 25 years old, young guy. Won 4 straight fights. He's actually fought Alexander Volkanovski. He got knocked out by him back in 2016. So that's obviously the biggest profile fighter he's fought. He's also fought Martin Wynn, who's a pretty notable fighter and won championship, lost to him as well. So this guy's lost a couple times to notable fighters, but for the most part, looks like a quality prospect. This should be a good card, UFC 243. I think that's all I want to talk about. I'm just going to double check and see if I didn't miss anything. I mean, there was some other news here, like Conor McGregor is out there saying he wants to fight in December, on December 14th in Dublin. UFC is supposed to be doing an event in Vegas at that time, so I don't know what Conor's saying. You know, Conor, he was a great fighter. He still could be. I just think at this point, like, this guy shouldn't be able to call his shots. He doesn't fight. He gets in trouble with the law. I don't know, man. I've kind of soured on Conor McGregor. I know I'm not the only one. Look at Justin Gaethje, what he says. And I think everything he says is true. George St. Pierre, actually, this is something I want to mention quickly. George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva were both in Las Vegas this weekend doing a promotional thing for Limitless, so it's a men's supplement. And they did a face-off, which was kind of interesting. Excuse me, guys. That fight won't happen, obviously, but it's cool seeing them square off against each other. I mean, this was a fight that we were supposed to see years ago. I wanted to see this fight for a long time, but at this point, I don't see any intrigue anymore. Anderson being in his mid-40s and GSP being retired, there's no intrigue left for me as far as that fight goes. But, you know, at a certain point in time, about 10 years, not even 10 years, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I was super interested in that fight. I actually remember I was in Montreal at UFC 154. GSP beat Carlos Condit. It was a really good fight. He had survived a head kick, won the fight. And Anderson still was in the crowd, and he wanted to call out GSP, and that fight never happened. GSP ended up fighting Nick Diaz. Anderson ended up fighting Chris Weidman, got knocked out, and the rest is history. So that was unfortunate, but it was cool seeing them do a little square off. And I have an article at bjpenn.com. You can read it. GSP talked about his top 5 pound-for-pound fighters in the sport. He named Khabib, John Jones, Henry Cejudo, and Manny Nunes. I should say top 4, I guess. He named those four fighters. He said Manny Nunes is the best female fighter ever. But the one thing I want to see that GSP, I thought was interesting, he said, these are my top 5 pound-for-pound fighters or whatever, top 4. But he said, this is a very subjective list. And he said, you know, in running, you have Usain Bolt as the fastest man on earth because we've timed it. In the Olympics, we have the strongest man because he's carried the most weight. But in MMA, it's subjective. So I thought that was really interesting. GSP obviously is a genius, a very smart guy, and I thought that was an interesting comment. The only other thing I want to mention quickly is, it's not even MMA related, but Floyd Mayweather saying there could be an exhibition rematch with Manny Pacquiao in Japan. Don't know anything about that. He barely gave any details, but, you know, that'll be something that people will want to watch, that's for sure. I don't know. Anyways, guys, I think that's all I want to talk about today. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, is available at MMAoddsmaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Check me out at BJPenn.com, MMARings.net. And also, I'll be doing James Lynch's podcast today at 11 a.m. So definitely check that out, doing the Score MMA podcast, Parting Shot Reunion. So that should be cool. and tomorrow with Cole Sheldon breaking down the UFC Mexico City card at 11 a.m. So, guys, once again, thanks for joining me. Apologize for my voice a little bit. Still not feeling 100%. But I want to say, by the way, thanks for the people that did wish me happy birthday. I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. And it was a good, really good birthday. Spent it with my family, so wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.-ish, breaking down whatever happens tonight in the world of MMA. Guys, have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.